future. We're talking real money.
Welcome to Talking Real Money, the show that is supposed to help you manage your money a little bit better so that you can have possibly a lot more in the future. 855-935-TALK is our phone number, and that is a number you can call on Saturdays live from noon until 2 Pacific, 3 to 5 Eastern, or you can call 24 hours a day and we'll answer your questions on the podcast. I'm Don McDonald. That's Tom Koch. Do we have anything to apologize about this hour?
Not this hour, but wait till next week. Something will come up, I am certain.
All right. One thing we pride ourselves on is if we're wrong, we're going to admit it and tell you.
Yeah, there was a call I made in a game. I think it was about 14 years ago. I've been wanting to.
Oh, you'll never admit. You'll never admit you made a bad call in a soccer game.
Well, no.
Never.
We only get 2 hours a week. I wouldn't have enough time to do the explanation, all the things I did wrong.
Well, wait, you
over
could, a new show right after this will be Tom apologizes for all his bad soccer calls over the years.
Are we going to bring the
it
people
It could be
in,
like the next complain. 5 hours.
Or longer. Yeah, exactly.
Or longer.
Yeah, true.
It's kind of like sports. It'll be a sporting event.
Yeah, okay.
Tom's
you can throw
wrong
milkshakes
again.
At me and stuff. It'll be fun.
855-935-TALK is our phone number. We love talking with you and helping you out. So give us a call, and we'll do what we can to make your financial life a little bit easier to deal with. And let's just get right to it, because we got people waiting. Got lines open, though, so if you want to call, you can now. Brian, welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. So I'm turning 50 next month, and my understanding is that it's about the right time to start thinking about long-term care insurance. So I'd love to know your thoughts.
It's better earlier than later.
Yeah, here's the landscape today, just as a way of background. 20 years ago, there were a lot of people selling long-term care insurance. There were also a lot of people just sort of, you could just buy rental policies, right? You'd buy them for a period of time. They would hopefully take care of you when you had the need arose. What happened was a lot of those people, including very large companies like Genworth, Metropolitan, big firms, they got into it. They collected a lot of commissions. I mean, a lot of premiums, because that was fun. And it's always great to have a business where you bring a lot of revenue in. And then when people started filing the claims, they found out that they underestimated how much it was going to cost to take care of those people.
And not just by a little, by a lot.
Yeah, so what happened was a lot of people got out of the business, and now, today, there's very few people selling traditional policies. That is where you pay a premium, you get some sort of coverage when you need it, et cetera. Most of the sales are in hybrid policies, where you take a lump sum, a certain amount of money, you give it to the insurance company, they cover you when something comes up, and then depending again on the contract, you get something back should you not spend it all. It's kind of complicated.
They're called a long-term care annuity, and they are complicated, and the fee structures are a little wacky, and the commissions to the people who sell them can be very high. It's like every kind of insurance. It's a crapshoot.
Well, yep.
You're gambling with the insurance company again. You are.
I mean, I have term life insurance. I'm happy to have it, happy to pay it.
Right.
No problem.
But
once you veer from that,
But the thing is a lot of people are buying long-term care policies who won't use them, because that helps pay for those who do use them. That's the way insurance works. There are some interesting options, though, that you might want to consider because you're still relatively young. One is fully funding a health savings account, because a health savings account can do a couple of things. One, it can help pay for long-term care should you need it. But if you don't need it, the money is yours.
And do you have that available at your place of employment?
That's what I was going to say. My place of employment doesn't have a high deductible insurance plan, so I don't think I can contribute to that.
Probably not. You have to have a high deductible plan. So that's one. It's really, you're going to find that they're a lot less expensive now because you're going to be paying premiums for a long period of time. But there are a lot of issues. One, you're going to find there's very little competition. And prices are very high. It's a lot of money. And finally, there is, despite the fact that insurance companies love to say that they're absolutely safe, the reality is they're not.
Well, and
they can get into financial trouble, and they can raise premiums just when you can't afford to pay more.
They sell a little bit on fear, too, that so what great percentage of people end up needing this help. And I don't want to get in a big argument about what percentage of the population ends up in long-term care situations, because I'm not sure we have a correct number there. But it is simply this, for me, it's a transference of risk. You're simply saying, I'm going to give you a certain amount of money so that I don't have to worry about that anymore. If that's something you want to do, if that's some risk you want to transfer, then I think it makes sense. For most people, it's probably the trade-off is going to be too expensive. They're simply going to say, I'll self-insure. I'll, you know, whatever it is, I'll save enough money so that if that need arises, I have it. But that's the way I'd look at it.
And if I was going to get it, I would stick with the traditional. I think these annuity products are still, there's still too much unknown about them, and there are huge caps to things.
Yeah, and we've seen this in my family where there's a lot of argument about what the insurance company, not picking on anybody, but I've actually seen this up close and personal, where it's gone on and on and on, and it's not easy. So it's not a simple yes or no answer, sorry to say.
855-935-8255. That's our number. Let's talk about money and your future, your life.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Do you know what your investment risk tolerance is? Take our free no-obligation risk quiz at talkingrealmoney.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Really important stuff here at 855-935-TALK. And, you know, there's one other option that doesn't get discussed a lot.
We're talking long-term care now.
Long-term care,
yeah, right,
is self-insurance.
I said that.
But I want to explain it.
Oh, okay.
What it means. Like, for example, right now, the average, according to AARP, the average long-term care policy runs about $2,500 to $3,000 a year. It's about the.
So, assuming you bought that at age 50 and you didn't use it until 65, you're looking at.
Well, no. Think about it. The other fact is that most people don't use it until their 70s or their
80s. Oh, okay.
Very few people use long-term care in their 60s.
You know, after the week I had last week, I'd like to start using mine next week, if that's okay.
So,
is there a place they can put me? Yeah.
And according to AARP, the average out-of-pocket spending for those who end up in long-term care.
Yep.
And it's 50, once you reach 65, it's 50-50 chance after that. If you live that long, it's 50-50. So the average a year, if you do spend it, is $140,000 a year.
Wow.
I mean, not $140,000 a year, $140,000 total spent.
Okay. Because they always say, you know, if you need
a couple years.
But if you need, you know, help around the clock, that's more like $8,000 a month.
Right, but even then they say that most people either get better or die within less than 2 years.
Well, that's comforting. Thanks for the cheer up there. Yeah, appreciate it.
Here's the thing. If you take that $250 a month based on a $3,000 a year policy,
okay,
and you invest that in a diversified portfolio like we suggest, I would make a reasonable assumption that that could return 5% per year.
Yeah, I think that's
a reasonable number.
Yeah, I mean,
low side. I'm trying to be conservative.
1970s made far more, but okay.
And you stick with that. You're 50 years old, and you have to go into a nursing home at 75, which is young.
So you have 25 years of setting that aside.
Correct.
Yeah.
You will have
how much?
$150,000 in that account.
All right. So there you go. And if you don't use it, you can hand it to somebody else.
You can use it for some other purpose.
Well, yeah. Well, my wife's boyfriend's got very expensive taste, so I want to make sure he's got plenty of money when I'm gone.
You
got
to keep her happy because she's got to take care of you when you're decrepit.
Well, that's my basic strategy. And I know they say you don't want to be a burden to your children, but they've been a tremendous burden to me, so I'm ready to return the favor. So
you neglected the fourth option, marry a lot younger.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
That they'll take care of you.
And with money.
Yeah. 855-935.
Oh, somebody's going to write and be angry about that if they're mad about
you. Yeah, you're going to have to apologize again next week.
That was your idea. That was Don's idea there.
Is Wendy there?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, we really need her to bail us out. Wendy, it's your turn. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
How can we help you?
Hi, gentlemen. So my son, who never wants to know anything from me at all, now has graduated from college.
Congratulations.
Yeah, yay. On time. Has his first real job, too, so that's great.
Nice.
He says to me, Mom, what do I need to know about finances?
Ooh.
And wow, so you matter again, Mom. Congratulations.
I'm thinking, is there a good book you can recommend that's going to give him kind of the
I don't think he needs a book.
Yeah, he does.
No, here's what he wrote. No, here's what you really need to do. This is
easy. What he needed to know about finance.
I know, but
okay, send her my book.
We'll send you the book, but here's the thing. Save from the first check.
Yeah.
15%. 15% goes into his either retirement account or a Roth IRA. Either one. Just do that. Don't do it. Doesn't have to be any fancier than that.
I hit my mic.
So
sorry.
So he's doing the 401k, yep. 5% with a 5% match.
Okay, so that's 10. Okay. That's a good 10. Start. Then if
and then
if,
his love,
yeah,
his lovely grandmother will fund his Roth.
I think.
Yay!
He also told yeah, God, to save money for emergency. To yeah, start think, building his emergency fund.
I think that's a good idea too. I mean, the other one is does he have loans?
No.
Okay, and does he have any other debt?
No.
Don't get in debt, and I mean, I think you're off. I think that's you. We could get into all the other little nits, but I think that is a terrific start. I really do. Saving, setting aside, and if you're doing, you know, pre-tax on the 401k, post-tax with the Roth IRA, I think you're a great mom, Wendy.
Some days.
Well, it's none of us. Well,
but
are perfect,
you know, the good news is, Wendy, as a father of all my kids now through college, you are now a much better parent than you were before because they like you better.
That remains to be seen, but we're hoping.
No, they will. No, trust me, they're gonna like you better. They're gonna like you better because suddenly you look a lot smarter when they're actually faced with real life. You just look brilliant. Congratulations.
And for calling us. Thank you, Wendy.
Yeah,
great question.
You look really brilliant
I mean,
for calling
us. Because I just saw a post from Dan Solon about this, too. Dan's a guy that we like, and he went and spoke to the University of California and told them, look, just do this one thing. Save 15% of your income from the beginning. Don't wait to start the habit of saving. Do that. Don't spend everything that's coming in. If you do that and you set it aside, you are going to be acres ahead. Way
again, you're making this too easy.
I'm trying to make it simple.
We're making it too easy. We're all trying right. to. What are you trying to obsolete us?
Okay, no. What you really need? No, you don't. You don't need.
No,
that.
It really is that simple. It truly is that simple. Here's the thing: if you take, let's just say, you don't have a retirement plan at work, you don't. You go out, you get your Roth IRA for $5,500 a year. If you make more than if your 15% is more than $5,500, then you put it outside of your Roth IRA in an account. You go to Vanguard, you get VTWAX and the Vanguard Total Bond Index, whatever that symbol is now. I don't remember.
You don't need bonds. You're 24 years old. Just buy the VTWAX.
Oh, you're right. Never mind. You just buy bonds. VTWAX. Yep. Forget about bonds. Yep. Put it in there every single month as you earn the money. Let it build and
take two aspirin
worrying.
And call me in the morning. I mean, really.
In 40 years.
Yeah, well, that's got bad news for you there. But no, I'm not trying to suggest that your demise, but that's 40 years. That's a long time.
Right.
I know you're going with the cryogenic
dead,
thing. You're going to have your head frozen, but good luck. Good luck with that.
Darn it.
Can I mention one other thing here, too? Because this came up last Saturday, if you remember.
Let's see. You're the co-host? Yeah.
Oh, okay. I can. Thank you. It makes me feel so important. Because what was everybody asking, not everybody on the show, but everybody that I ran into at the end of last week?
What's the market going to do?
Oh, yeah, because the market was down and tariffs and Iran and blah, 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 right, all that stuff, right? Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why
we had a two-front trade war. Oh, my God.
This is why your asset allocation, your commitment to stocks and bonds is. It does not change based on whatever factors out there, whatever's happening. Because last week, the Dow jumped 4.7% in 5 days. So should you have jumped out, and I know people did, you just cost yourself 5% in 1 week. Don't
apparently,
do it.
Apparently selling in May and going away is a bad idea. Sell in June, or maybe just don't sell at all. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Just about everything you need to know about money can be found at our website, talkingrealmoney.com.
your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
It's your life, it's your dough on one little radio show every Saturday from noon to two in Seattle or three to five anywhere else in the country. And you can listen to us on the Como app, the Como News app.
All the time. You can go to Listen Live, listen there too, I think.
Yeah, you can listen to the live show. And then you can listen to the podcasts at Apple Podcasts or Spreaker or Spotify or Squeakify or
What is it really? Because our numbers have been coming up on the podcast.
Oh,
right?
My gosh. Yeah. Just since October, we switched podcast services and we've had 150,000 downloads of the show.
Over 150,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just since October. I know. Pretty cool.
Can't say it was just my mom because she is no longer with us. So it's not her.
No.
That's good to know.
No, it's somebody. 855-935-TALK is our phone number. That's 855-935-8255. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. Now, we talked in the last hour or the previous day's podcast, for those of you listening to the podcast, about the government setting up new rules for those who provide financial advice, and we don't like them very much.
Well, because they don't clarify things. We want something that's going to say, I honestly want something that's going to say every person giving advice is required to put the interests of the client first. This did not do that.
Doesn't that seem so simple and straightforward?
Yeah,
and
that's probably why it didn't go through.
Right. That's probably the same reason we don't have a flat tax. It's just too simple. But they're trying to muddy another
body is very silly.
Of water, and it is muddy. And, you know, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago when it was just
secure.
It was just It was just a gleam in their eye.
This is the Secure thing, right?
Secure Act, Secure Act, is another stupid acronym.
Yeah, they're delaying so at age 70 and a half, if you have money in pre-tax savings like IRAs and 401ks, 70 and a half, you have to start taking that out and paying tax. This bill would have allowed you to delay that until age 72. I don't remember what other real it also was allowing you to put annuities into 401k plans, which
actually it was encouraging them.
Yeah, the devil here is in the details, right? Does it make sense for people to save knowing that after they've saved that they're going to get some assured payout? Absolutely. I have no trouble with that. But once you start allowing that type of product into retirement plans, I guarantee you're going to get all kinds of exotic stuff that's going to be expensive. It's going to be hard to understand, and it will not be in the best interest of the people in the plan. That's the problem, Don.
No, the sales folks have once again gotten a hold of Congress and convinced them that they need to make it really easy for people to put stuff in their garbage products, which they really are. They're just garbage. They make them a lot of money, and they don't make you much, and it's just terrible. But the other problem, and we got called on the carpet a couple of weeks ago for this one, too.
Which one's this?
You know, the Secure Act, it would allow you to take your money out at 72, it would make setting up plans a little bit easier, but it would also take away the ability, and this is how they're going to pay for whatever it costs them, you know, trying to make it revenue neutral. You would be able to leave an IRA to your spouse, and they could stretch the payments out over their lifetime, but you can do it with anyone.
If you leave it to a child, they can stretch it out over their lifetime. They want to get rid of that.
The new rule would get rid of that ability to stretch it out over a lifetime, and you would have to do it, I think now, the last I looked, it was 5 years?
I think it's five.
I think it was 5 years.
I think you're right.
And that made a lot of people mad, and they let us know that we shouldn't have said nice things about it since it takes away the stretch IRA withdrawal.
And here's now the thing's all bogged down because a certain senator doesn't want you to be able to use 529 plans for homeschooling. As you know,
Are you sure? Doesn't he want them to be able to use it for homeschooling?
Correct.
He wants 529
in here,
money.
I have no idea, but it's...
What, are you going to pay yourself to homeschool your kid?
Books are expensive.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
It may not be the sexiest website in the world, but it's your one-stop shop for real money information, talkingrealmoney.com.
future. We're talking real money.
Real money, big part of real life, really important stuff. Give us a call at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. I'm Don, that's Tom, and you're out there listening. We hope you call us, 855-935-TALK. Chris, welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
What's up,
How
Chris?
Are you?
Good. How are
Good,
you doing?
Thanks.
Good. I'm just calling about long-term care insurance. My husband and I are both in our mid-50s, so we're looking at maybe, 8 to 10 more years before we retire. We don't have any kids, and so we're kind of debating getting long-term care insurance versus taking that money and just putting it, more into our retirement every month.
I think that's
I'm going to leave that to
well,
you.
Well, I mean, that's the $64,000 question, right? I mean, because what you're doing when you buy the insurance, you're simply taking the money and handing it to somebody else and transferring the risk. If you just invest it, you still have the risk. The question is, does it make sense for one or the other? And the answer is, I don't know, because I don't know enough about your search situation.
Well,
I don't
and we know can't about, know.
Well, we can't really know the purely financial part, but the emotional part, I think that's what this is. It's an emotional decision. Do you want to, there's people that we have as clients who have the assets to take care of themselves, but they would rather write the check knowing that no matter what happens in my life, I'm covered. That's the trade-off to me. Does that make sense?
It's more guaranteed if you're putting in into the insurance, is what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's guaranteed. Don correctly points out if something happens to the insurance company, and there has been, because with long-term care, there's been some struggles about paying out certain claims. There's been a lot of, it hasn't been as simple as that because an insurance company could fail. Yes. But basically, you are transferring that risk from you to someone else.
But again, the other thing that we have to bear in mind is that the insurance company today says we will give you X amount of coverage per day.
Right.
The cost of coverage down the road could be substantially higher. There's still risks. We're never going to totally eliminate the financial risk down the road.
I equate it to the difference between a 401k and a pension. People think a pension is guaranteed. It is not guaranteed. You can go back and see educators in the Midwest. You can see municipal workers in the upper Midwest. There are people and companies, certainly. I knew airline pilots in the late 90s who had huge pensions, and then those airlines went out of business, and the government agency that handles them paid them about a third of what they were expecting. So that is not guaranteed. None of this is guaranteed. You already know the two guarantees in life, and you can pretty much count on those two.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I
wish it was better news.
Some.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, and we're of different minds, too, Tom and I. So we're a perfect example. I would rather put the extra money, personally, in my retirement account and self-insure. In essence, say, okay, have the $150,000 on average that it takes to pay for long-term care.
There you go.
Tom likes to insure more than I do. So
I don't have long-term care, though, I will say that.
No.
I do not.
But it's very personal, too.
Yeah, I agree.
855-935-TALK is our number, 855-935-8255. And Pat, you're up next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hey, Pat.
Hi.
What's up, Pat?
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
We're here.
Hi, yeah. A few months ago, so I'm looking at building my own portfolio, and a few months ago you had mentioned 3 to 5 different funds, ETFs or mutual funds, that you thought would constitute a reasonably balanced portfolio at this time. I think one of them was Vanguard Total World Fund. Can you tell me again what you were thinking?
It was actually Vanguard, it's the VTWAX, Vanguard Total World Stock Index Fund, Admiral Shares.
One fund with 8,000 stocks in it.
Wow. Okay.
I'm looking it up. I'm going to beat you to it. I'm beating you to it.
And then, no, I'm going to beat you. VBMFX.
No, wrong.
Vanguard Total Bond Market.
Admiral. You want the new Admiral one.
Yeah, hang on.
Tom messed up. I'm going to have to fix this.
We're
going to
give you the Admiral shares because Vanguard's... They got it. Okay, VBTLX.
TLX, there you go.
Vanguard, VB as in boy, T as in Tom, L as in Larry, X as in X-ray. VBTLX.
Okay,
that's the bond part. That's the stable part.
Okay.
The other part is the one designed to get you the returns.
Okay, and the one you said before, you said VTWAX.
Correct.
And then you said VBTLX. VBF, and I
No. Don correctly pointed out that what you want is the Admiral shares of that Vanguard Total Bond Fund. That is VBTLKX.
X.
Okay.
I know I'll get this right. I'm going to tattoo it on the back of my hand. Those would be the two funds. One's a stock. No, that covered. I mean, you got a global stock fund, and then you got a bond fund. And you go on, you build a great
portfolio.
And
the way to figure out your proper allocation is to go take our risk quiz at TalkingRealMoney.com. That'll give you a clue how to allocate it between stocks and bonds. And between the two of those funds, if you were 50-50, the average expense ratio would be 0.075%.
Tiny. Ridiculous.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Tom and I believe in helping everybody become a better investor. That's why we offer lots of free knowledge at TalkingRealMoney.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Because your life is not going to be particularly enjoyable, particularly in retirement, if you don't have quite a bit of money. We want to help you get there. 855-935-TALK is our number. You can call live during the show on Saturdays, which is 3 to 5 Eastern, noon to 2 Pacific, or you can call anytime during the week and leave your question, and we'll answer them on the podcast, which, by the way, and I'll tell you more about that in a minute. I did not do a podcast yesterday. It was been a rough couple of days.
Yeah, so you've had some good reason why. Yeah,
we'll talk about that in a minute. But Janice is waiting on the phone, so let's go talk to Janice. Hi, Janice. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be on. So it was interesting today listening to your show, because the company that you were talking about with such disdain, we got involved with them about 3 years ago.
I bet you went to a steak dinner, didn't you?
Yes.
I hope that was a great steak. Go ahead.
And I brought a friend, and she also got involved. And so they were so slimy. Honestly, we should have seen it. But anyway, getting past that, we're wondering at this point what we can do. We're retired or semi-retired. We're taking out RMDs, and we just want to get our money out. Now, we have one was with Athene, and the other with American Equity.
Yep, those are the two.
Two of them were 5 years, and the other two were 10 years, so we're 3 years into them. Mm-hmm. And besides taking out our RMDs, is it worth taking the hit to just get everything out of there? I just want to get out so bad, but I'm not sure how to do it.
I don't blame you, and I want to, don't kick yourself. The pitch is great. I go to these dinners every once in a while just to see how hard these pitches are, and they're so misleading. They lie in the pitches.
And there was one from, wasn't it Ron Lieber wrote about the one last week where they wouldn't even bring you dessert until you filled out the form.
Yeah, there's an article in the New York Times about these sales pitches too. But that doesn't answer your question. Tom just recently had a client. Who now is a client, gentleman who came in with a bunch of these from, I think, the same source, but
yes,
I don't know.
It was indeed.
Tell him about it.
Because he had gotten into this more recently than you did. So he had to pay a steep fee to get out of them, right? He had to pay.
One of them, it was 9%.
Large surrender fee. And he decided just to bite down hard and do it and get his life cleaned up. That said, right? I mean, so that was a cost. I mean, and here's the reality. It's in, and you are the one who came up with this, Don, a few years ago. It's a pay me now or pay me later situation, because basically it goes like this. And I don't, not sure I know those two products necessarily, but
I do.
Okay. So how much are they paying for that? That is that an equity index annuity?
Those are both equity index products.
So here's
what they're going to pay. I've looked at both of these very carefully and run the numbers. What your average annual return would have been in the past is between 3-4% per year, in that ballpark, with the good years and the bad years all averaged in.
So you're paying, what they're doing is we went through this line by line. It's fascinating how this cap and that, it's very complicated. So as Don said, you make 3-4% a year, would have made 3-4% a year. Instead, if you pay the surrender, and I'd have to see what that would be after 3 or 4 years. What do you? I don't know what that.
5%. One of them. It's 7. The other, it's lower.
So you
because it was, if I remember correctly, it was it may be 6. It was 9, 8, 8 or something like that. But
it goes down.
It's probably 6 or 7 on one, and probably 3 on the other. But I don't know that for a fact.
So here's the thing. Then you clean it up. You move it to some portfolio where you pay a quarter of that, a very small amount compared to what you're paying, and you therefore make up that money over time by the return of the portfolio. So it's a trade-off. There is, and some people just say, nope, I made this decision, I'm going to stick with it. Others say, you know what, I want to put it behind me, clean up my life, and I'm going to pay me now or pay me later. That's the situation.
And there is one other option, too. Most of these policies allow you to take a certain percentage out every year.
Yeah, you can take
10% generally without penalty.
That's a good
point. It's a slow drip method of getting out of it. But these products are badly. My beef with these products isn't that they're necessarily terrible investments. It's that they're so, as you said, slimily sold.
Yeah.
And there is so little transparency in the process.
If this was me, I would go, Janice, to a 100% fiduciary RIA and have them analyze it and say, if you do this, here's what you're left with, here's the likely, et cetera.
Yep.
Or if you don't do it, here's, because somebody could run that number for you. That's where I would start. Thank you for your call. It's a troubling situation for you, but at some level, maybe you just clean up your life and get on with it. That's the tricky part.
Yeah. And I wish people would just stop selling these stupid things.
Can we have time for one more call?
Yeah, we do. Okay. Yeah, Chris? Chris, welcome to Talking Real Money.
Yeah, turn on your show.
You kind of answered my question. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. You kind of answered my question already. I'm meeting with my financial planner on Monday, and what should I ask her? She's switching companies from one company to another. She wants to take my account with her. But
we have a form for this.
Wait. But first, just tell me really quickly, what company is she going to?
You know,
big national firm?
Yeah, it's a national firm. She was at RBC.
Yeah, we can guarantee you that she's not 100% fiduciary.
Guarantee that she's not 100% fiduciary. But go to our website. Go to talkingrealmoney.com. Download. This is always fun anyway. This could just be a fun experience. Download our advisor interview form. It's down at the bottom of the page where the guy has the help sign. Download that, print it out, and take it to her and ask her to please fill it out and sign it.
Yeah.
This will be very telling.
She won't do it. Yep.
If she refuses to fill it out and sign it, then it means she has something to hide.
She won't do it. So we wish you well.
Yeah, I can tell you just from what you said, she's not going to be 100% fiduciary.
So we alluded to this earlier. We don't do much personal stuff on the show because the show is not about us. It should be about you. But that said, we lost somebody today who's been really a dad to you. In so many ways.
More of a dad to me than my dad was to me. And a good client to Vestry.
He was a good client to Vestry, but also, a man of his generation. I mean, this is a guy extremely accomplished.
This is my stepdad. My stepdad died this morning.
Yeah, I mean, work until his
80s. At 12:30 a.m. He was 87 years old, and he worked until he was 86 when he was diagnosed with pancreatic and liver cancer, stage 4. He hung in there for a year. He died this morning. This was a truly great man. Served in the Army during the Korean War. Went to medical school. Became one of the preeminent doctors in his field. As a matter of fact, he wrote the book. He wrote one of the books on GI radiology. He was a teacher, a professor, a working doctor until he walked to work every day
right there
until he was 86 in New York City. Yeah. Owned a big radiology practice and what a truly great man.
You know, and the interesting thing, I mean, so we're sorry for your loss, obviously, and your family and your mother. But, I mean, here's the other thing about he was smart enough about so many other things, including the money part. I mean, he could argue with guys who are in the business who he knew that well, too. So
he was brilliant.
He was brilliant.
The man was truly brilliant, but he was also such a good soul. And, I'll never forget. We had wine tastings every time we went to visit, and he would always say, to your very good health. Great man. Danny McClansky.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Download the advisor interview form and find out if your advisor is a fiduciary at talkingrealmoney.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
I'm not sure if I mentioned it, but Dr. McClansky was my stepfather for a very long time, married my mother, good man. If you want to learn how investing is supposed to work, not get sold an annuity, go to our new class coming up June 22nd. It's called Real Retirement Roadmap, and tickets are available right now at realretirementroadmap.com. That's realretirementroadmap.com.
That the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestry, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That should keep the lawyers happy.